Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, The Kingdom Agenda. In his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out his kingdom agenda for us to embrace and to participate in. He explains what it looks like to identify ourselves with his kingdom agenda and what it looks like to live it out. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, Valley Brook. It's great to see you all this morning. Guys, it is my honor and pleasure that I get to introduce to you all our speaker this morning, Louis Franco. So Louis is our Director of Student Ministries here at Valley Brook. He and his wife, Naomi, and his two kids, Zoe and Jacob, have been coming here for roughly about 2 years, I believe it is, a little over 2 years, and it has just been an amazing blessing to have them here. Louis's care for our student ministries has been wonderful. Naomi is a member of our worship team. You've seen her up here in the mornings, and so it's been an absolute blessing to have them. Guys, just a little bit about him, just so you know. Louis has taken it upon himself willingly to go upon all, you know, in addition to all the work that he is doing here and all over, that he has gone on his own to go learn further at classes at seminary because he desires to do his due diligence in the work and to serve the ministry and to serve God in everything that he does. And so truly, I have no idea how he has time to do anything else in his schedule, given all the amazing things that he does. He's also the only person I know that can outquote things than me. He can outquote me in movies. If you know me, if I've chatted about things, like I can quote good portions of movie. He outdoes me, which is amazing. And so what he's gonna say today, I can't even imagine just the awesomeness that's gonna come out that he has just prepared for you guys. Can we all just take a moment to just welcome Louis as he comes up? Also, just real quick, as you guys are getting to know him, I would highly recommend chatting with him after the service, but just know that the spot for his best friend, that's mine. You know, you can't have that. That's my thing.
Wow, that was intense, guys. I hope I can live up to that. Good morning. God bless you, my Valley Brook family. As he mentioned, my name is Louis Franco, and if we haven't met, I just want to say hello and welcome, and I hope we can talk after the message. I bring you warm greetings, everyone who is here from the Franco family, as well as everyone else who is joining us at home online. And today we're going to be continuing the Kingdom Agenda series, which focuses on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus's probably most popular preaching. And today's entire message, everything that I'm about to say, can actually be summed up into three words. But as I'm looking here, I've got about 3,100 words, but it could be summed up into three words. Bear with me. And those three words are do not worry. And I just want to make it very clear that I am not coming from a position where I'm telling you not to worry. I am very familiar with worry, okay? I actually finished writing this message while sitting in a hospital waiting room as a very close family member of mine was undergoing a medical procedure. So worry in and of itself is not foreign to me, all right? And so if there was a mirror in front of me instead of all you, I need to hear this, all right? So that's where I'm coming from, all right? And as we get into the scriptures in just a moment, I find it very important for us to focus on those words, do not worry. This morning, I hope that we can use this time to better understand exactly what Jesus was pointing to, exactly what he was telling us to do as he was telling us what not to do. And I promise that's going to make sense. And we're going to notice that in these verses, it's Jesus who is speaking. He is the one who is telling us what not to do. He's giving us clear commands as to the things and areas of our lives that we should not worry about. And these are the things and areas of our lives that we should also not be anxious about. And that brings me to this noteworthy point. I feel like in order for us to understand these verses, we should better understand this word worry. And if you'll allow me, I would like to quickly expand on that. You see, the word in the original text used for worry was the Greek word metemnao. And if I'm butchering that, I asked Kevin Smith. He said I was good. So we're just going to go with that. All right. So please forgive me if I'm butchering that. But the word metanoeo is actually found in the New Testament a little over a dozen times. And what I find interesting, because I'm a nerd, is that when it's translated, it changes. The meaning changes based on the context that it's used. Meaning, metanoeo is a completely different word based on the conversation we're having, the context we're having. And so it can actually be translated to mean to take thought, to care, to be careful, to have care, to be anxious, to be concerned, to worry, or to be troubled with cares. In fact, when we go into the scriptures, depending on which translation you use, it might say, do not worry. It might also say, don't be anxious. And the word is also believed to derive from two smaller Greek words that in its most pure definition would be to be divided, to be distracted, or to have a divided mind. Okay? So if you can just imagine your mind, your brain, being pulled, this tug of war, into two different conflicting thoughts and concerns, you can see how easy this worry, as described in these verses, can easily lead to inner turmoil and instability. Now, of course, there is such thing as good concern. Let's make that very clear. There's a healthy sense of responsibility. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul wrote that we all have responsibilities to our families, to our households. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, Paul wrote, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. All right, so now we're finding this dichotomy between the word. However, there is a bad concern, bad worry and anxiety. And in these verses that we are about to read, I want you to take heart and be alert and listen to exactly what the Lord is telling us. And keep in mind, He is the one who is telling us not to be worried. And it's Jesus who is telling us not to be anxious. So if you brought your Bibles with you today, please open up to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. I'll be reading from the NIV. I think it'll be up on the screen behind me. And just remember, these words are the Lord's words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. All right, you guys ready? So we're going to jump in back and forth to some of these verses, because I know that I just read a lot of scripture to you, but that's okay, we're in church. And one of the things I wanted to point out immediately was that Jesus starts off this portion with the word therefore. And my wife and I was recently watching a sermon by Pastor Francis Chan, and he also came by a portion of scripture that started with therefore, and he said, you know, the interesting thing about therefore is that it's there for a reason, right? It's there to tell you that everything that I am about to say is because, and it is important because of everything that I just said. Does that make sense, right? Therefore, so what is it there for? What was he just talking about? What is the context? And in the preceding verses, in verses 19 to 24, and if you were here last week, Harrison Daniels beautifully illustrated this, all right? Jesus was teaching that true security and contentment are found in aligning our priorities with God's kingdom rather than with our own possessions. He warns against accumulating perishable worldly wealth, emphasizing that our hearts will inevitably follow what we treasure most. He uses a metaphor of an eye to illustrate that a focus on material things leads to darkness spiritually. And the passage concludes with the truth that one cannot serve two masters. We must choose whether to be devoted to God or to mammon, meaning money, wealth, or things, the idols in our lives that bring us this false sense of security. Stuart Scott describes an idol as anything that we consistently make equal to or more important to God in our attention, desire, devotion, or choices. So Jesus says, because of all of this, because you can't serve two masters, because you can't put your trust into perishable things, do not worry about your life. And he could have just finished there, right? He painted this beautiful picture for us, and then he tells us, don't worry about your life. And this made me think back to all those times when I was a kid and my parents would tell me not to do something, and young, rebellious little Lewis would say, why? And they would eventually say, because I said so. Anyone else here ever got that response, because I said so? Anybody here ever given that response? Don't raise your hand, it's okay. All right, I have to raise my hand. But more often than not, it was because my parents knew that whatever it was I was asking for, wherever it was I wanted to go, they knew what was best for me. They knew I didn't need it. They knew I didn't need to go there. And them having the authority to say no, who am I but a rebellious young son to say why and question that authority. But with that in mind, if there was ever someone who lived on earth to have such authority to say, don't do something, like don't worry, and that be enough, for him to say, hey, don't worry about your life because I said so, I would imagine that Jesus Christ would be that person to have that authority. But out of what I can only imagine to be his love and mercy and kindness for us, he tells us exactly why we shouldn't worry before we even get to ask why. He brings our attention to the birds of the air and then asks, are you not much more valuable than they? And I have to be honest that I've read these verses numerous times throughout my life, and I have totally glossed over that question, church. And it was as if I was so worried and anxious about not being worried and anxious that I couldn't see it. And this brings me to my first point today. It was a rhetorical question then. Jesus was not expecting those thousands of people to give their own personal responses. But today I want to pose that question to you. Because I would never want to assume that each and every one of us here today has actually accepted, like really thought about, meditated, and understood that God, the creator of the universe, who was seated on the throne as we speak right now, surrounded by angels who are crying, holy, 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 that God loves you. Yes, you. And he wants a relationship with you, and he wants to fill you with his spirit. This love that, as we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, that says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love, he has that for you. Humor me for one moment. If somebody gave you a time machine, right? If right now I had the keys to the DeLorean and I'm like, hey, where do you want to go? What do you want to see? Right? Let's get this thing up to 88 and let's send it. I am sure that some of us here today would have loved to see Jesus preach this message in person. Not all of us, but I'm sure somebody, right? I would have loved to hear this come out of his mouth. But here's what's beautiful. Where we can be jealous of the multitude who got to hear these words come out of Jesus' mouth, we actually have something that they didn't have. You see, we're gathered here today in the year 2025, and we know how this story ends. We have the rest of the book. We know that this man who is telling people not to worry about their lives and is asking them, is your life not worth more than the birds of the air, later dies on the cross for the sins of the world to save us all. That he who descended is the very one who ascended high above the heavens and the earth to fill all things. And so, church, please, today, if you're sitting here and you're listening to me, and when you read the Lord's words, do not worry, or the question, are you not much more valuable than they? I hope that you have accepted that love, or that you open up your heart this morning to accept that love. If you're struggling with that, if this is the first time you've even ever thought, am I more valuable than the birds? Then as Pastor Clark would say, if he was here, lean into that this morning. Because life is going to come at you hard, and we are going to have some things to be concerned about. We're going to worry about these things, but how much easier, church, would it be for us to handle our worries, our concerns, and our anxieties if we held these words to be true, if we accepted them, if we had a healthy image of ourselves in the eyes of Christ, that we are worth so much more than we could ever imagine, and that he himself would come down, hang on a sinner's cross, and give us hope. You see, and the Lord mentions more than just our lives that we should be worried about. He tells us not to worry about food, drink, clothes, things. Don't be concerned about things. Don't have a divided mind about things. Listen, who doesn't like things? We all have things. Some of you have things that I like. I've seen them. Things aren't the problem. It's where are we putting these things in our hearts? Where are we valuing them in our heart? We all need to eat and drink to survive. The Lord knows that. Part of the Lord's Prayer in the same book of Matthew says, give us this day our daily bread, meaning not just his provision for food and nourishment, but also our spiritual sustenance. He knows what we need. He later emphasizes this point when he was tempted by Satan himself. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the Lord asks a second question, if the first one wasn't too much to handle. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Of course not. Think about it. Worry can't add to your life, and modern medicine will tell you that it certainly can subtract from it. Modern medicine will tell you that excessive worry can lead to stress, anxiety, health problems, sleeplessness, and a general loss of joy and peace. But I want to take this moment to explain that I know how real anxiety is. It's nothing that should be scoffed at or brushed off, and I promise you that I'm not trying to be insensitive to any one of us here today that is battling with anxiety and the strain that can have on your life and your relationships. But don't just take that from me. See, we can find hope in the scriptures, right? Don't just say or think that I'm telling you don't worry and Jesus cares about you. No, no, no. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Which brings me back to my first point. Church, do you believe that you are valuable? Yes, you. And do you believe that he cares for you? Yes, you. But what I want to tell you is that in these verses, I don't believe Jesus was telling us to be carefree, like to live as if there is nothing to be concerned about. I don't believe that these verses are leading us to a point where if our check engine light comes on, our pilot light goes off, our bank account is in the red, that we are supposed to just carry on our merry way, whistling a tune like a character out of a Disney movie. That is not what I think he is saying here. Because we are called to be good stewards. We are called to have concern and take care of our families and our children. For those of you who are single, who don't have children, for each and every one of my Collide students, this stewardship extends to you. It extends to how we manage our time, our talents, our finances, our relationships within the broader family of God, our church community, our friends, and our neighbors. We do have responsibilities, and like I said, there's a healthy level of concern, but I believe that in these verses, the Lord is challenging us to find those areas in our lives that we need to worry less about. The areas of our lives that we need to relinquish, right? That's a fancy word to say voluntarily cease to keep claim of. The areas of our life that we really need to lay down before the Lord. We have to ask ourselves, what am I holding on to that I need to let go of? Where do I need to trust the Lord to have full control? These are real questions. And then we have to ask and seek the Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us through it. Let me make this make more sense, all right? You ever been in an argument, right? And you're getting good in this argument. Sorry that I'm assuming that each and every one of us has ever had an argument. You ever witnessed an argument? And then at some point, either you or the person you're arguing with yells out, I could care less about that. Anybody? Right? All right. So again, I'm just going to focus on me. I'm not pointing fingers, right? I think it's funny when I hear it now. And it's only funny to me because I was once that guy yelling, I could care less about fill in the blank. And it was at that moment during the argument that my opponent wanted to make this a teaching lesson on proper English and etiquette. And so while I am so upset and yelling, I could care less about that, they go, well, you know, proper English is I couldn't care less about that. You see, Lewis, if you care so little about something, you can't care less. And so there I am yelling, I could care less, and I definitely should have and could have, since it brought out so much anger and discord. So let me ask you, what areas of our lives could we care less about? When is the last time we took inventory of our hearts? Like a true audit of every transaction and every receipt? When is the last time, church, you asked the Lord, what in my life am I putting far too high on a pedestal? When is the last time you asked, what parts of my life am I holding on to with tight white knuckle fists? Lord, where am I relying on my strength and my skills and my determination and not your will and your provision? Lord, do I trust you? Now, I'm going to be very intentional right now to not look and make eye contact with any one of you as I read verse 30 one more time. I would even take my glasses off, but then I couldn't see. So let me just cover up here, all right? If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? All right, still not looking. To quote Charles Spurgeon, he said, if God is worthy of trust, he is worthy of abundant trust. If it is good to lean on him at all, it must be good to lean hard. Is the Lord faithful? Then do not both trust and doubt. Believe and not believe. Church, our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need. But he's telling us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. This command comes with a promise. He's not just telling us what to do. He's like, do this, and here you go, right? And church, my prayer is that we all strive, each and every one of us, regardless of our age, regardless of many, however many Bible lessons we've been to or scriptures we've read or memorized, that our mission would be to become more like Christ and to reflect a Christ-like image to the world. And that is a daily pursuit. It should be our lifelong mission. To reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure in the fullness of Christ, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. And in doing so, church, we need to seek first his kingdom. And this requires prioritization. It means trusting that God is in control, making his will and his purpose the absolute top priority in our lives above all else. It's about aligning our ambitions, our decisions, and our daily pursuits with God's agenda. And it means letting go of our self-reliance and our self-dependency on such perishable things. And so as I bring this message to a close and I ask the worship team to join me, I want to end with verse 34, which starts exactly how verse 25, with one more therefore. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Church, I pray today that if you are wrestling with the idea that God loves you, if you find it hard to accept that he values you over the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, that if you present that to our Heavenly Father today, that he will just fill you with his love and overwhelm you, that he can change what you see when you look in the mirror this afternoon. I pray that if there's anyone here today that can't find that line between stewardship and a healthy level of concern and responsibility against what we're worrying about and where do I have to give control, I hope that you can seek the Holy Spirit to help you put that in its place, that you ask him to give you strength. And lastly, I pray that each and every one of us today will seek first the kingdom of God, not the building of our own castles, that we can say with assurance that God is in control, that he is our strength, he knows what we need, and his will is far greater than ours. Because church, the opposite of worry and anxiety is peace. And the vehicle that takes us there is our true and complete dependence on the Lord. Therefore, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you love us all more than we could ever understand and imagine, Lord. Lord, I ask that right now, if there is any one of us struggling to accept that, if there is any one of us who doesn't see themselves as you see them, Lord, that you will open their eyes and their hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here today who are so stressed out and anxious and worried about what to do next and how we're gonna make ends meet, Lord, but that you, oh Lord, will be our strength, Father, that you will show us that you are in control and that we can just trust you in abundance and in scarcity. And Lord, I pray that you give us strength and encouragement to seek first your kingdom, to love one another the way that you have called us to love, and to present your word and to have pure assurance that you are more than enough. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. And in the holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen.